Yep, so Lord bless you, brother, as you preach the word.
Christian greetings in Jesus' precious name. Also, greetings from the brethren at Maysville, Missouri. Church there. Would invite you to come visit us there. Matthew Henry, commentator, was robbed once, and they found this entered into his diary. He said, "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my walnut, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Kind of impressed with those statements. This morning I'd like to turn to Revelation chapter 4. Read the first 11 verses of Revelation chapter 4. Now, I'm not into eschatology, so I'm not going to preach on premillennialism or amillennialism, although I guess I would identify myself as an amillennial. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I might mention, I preached here I guess 30 years ago. Someone recently told me, and I can't even remember now who it was, what I preached on. I don't think I could have remembered, but anyhow. But the reason he remembered was not necessarily, I guess, what I said, but my text was on the storms of life. And there was a tremendous thunderstorm outside while I was preaching. But he remembered that. I don't know if you remember anything else. All right, I'd like to notice here John's vision of God's throne and heaven. And I'd like to take my text out of, let's see, I can find it now if I get the right verse 1. The statement there that, and behold, a door was open in heaven. I don't know how many people have ever looked in heaven, not too much. There's a story out about a little boy, but sometimes there's been those that question that book. But be that as it may. But here in verse 1, there's one statement there. That's the title of my message, and I'm paraphrasing it, but come up higher. It says, come up hither. And then it says, I will show you things which must be hereafter. But I want to use the thought of come up higher. Now, how do we get higher in life or in our Christian way of life? Or are we all mature? John 4, verse 10, very familiar verse as a key, says, humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God, sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So I think it was Yuri Shatler that years ago said, way up is down. The way up is to humble ourselves. So if you want to get higher in your Christian experience hither, then the way is humility or down. And I like the humility of John, the gospel writer. You remember he wrote in John 18, verse 16, he gave an example there about Peter, and then he referred to himself as the other disciple. He never said it was John. He just said it's the other disciple. And we usually like to say it was us. No way. Verse 2 of Revelation 4. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is past crucifixion. This is post-ascension, post-resurrection. And here Jesus is sitting on the throne. And immediately he says there, and that was the main focus in heaven, was Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, I'm not necessarily, got some of these things that jasper is red, yellow, or brown, and it's also opaque quartz. The sardine stone. And then it says, notice, like we notice the rainbow around about the throne. The rainbow out around the throne that has different colors. Like the, you know, could have different colors. And in Revelation 21, verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. That's the kind of stone that Jesus Christ is. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need for the sun to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of it. You know, we always enjoy, don't we, see the sun come up in the morning, beautiful sunshiny morning, and all a little bit the other way when we see the sun go down as well in the west. But you know, in heaven, we don't need the sun, because Jesus Christ is the sun. He's the one the focus is on. And in verse 4, it says, round about the throne were 24 elders, or seats, clothed in white raiment. And I guess I should have said this. I'm not sure. I, I'm going to give some ideas here. You may not agree with me, but that's all right. But I'm just going to share some things as I meditated on them. In verse 10 and 11, it says here, "And 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy." Now, you ever stop to think, why did they cast their crowns down? We sometimes think about, say, or sing about a crown. But I don't know, I've wondered if nobody is going to wear a crown in front of Jesus. It says there, "Thou art worthy." You know, beloved, Jesus Christ is the only one that's worthy of honor and glory. And you know, if we get the glory, it will be on the basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ. They cast down their throne before their crowns before the throne. And then it says here, who were the 24? I'm not sure, but are they symbolic of the Israel, of the 12 tribes of Israel? And then are they the other 12 symbolic of the disciples or the church era for us today? Symbolic of the overcomers. That's what it says there. 24 elders fall down before him, sat on the throne. Some have applied them on the 12 patriarchs as well as the 12 apostles. But I'd like to think of them as us today, a part of that. But notice, really, verse 11. This is what they said. "Thou art worthy, O Lord." Jesus Christ is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And I wondered if this is what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul said, "For I am determined not to know anything else save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, that's one of my, how would I say, favorite verses in the Bible. Maybe I shouldn't have favorites. I would like to be that way. But can you see what all Paul did, learned, and was motivated by that focus on determining that Jesus Christ, to know him, I'm determined not to know anything else save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And on that basis, look at all what Paul did, or what was produced. And I think one of my points, that's the main point that I'd like to leave with you. If you're going to do anything of any value in the church of Jesus Christ, then you've got to get up higher. Come up higher. Come up hither. We will see a lot of things. Now, I don't know you brethren all very well. I've known some of you quite a number of years. But you know, when we get up higher, we'll see ourselves, don't we? The more we look at Jesus Christ and have our focus on him, the more we see us. Sometimes we need others to help us see ourselves. I'm thinking of that in our Sunday school, and one of the thoughts that were discussed, and the thought was given about self. Well, really, all of us are egoistic, meaning we think of ourselves. And very few of us are altruistic, which means we always think on others. I would like to be that way. But you know, sometimes we need help to see ourselves. And that's what the church is for. But if we would come up higher, we wouldn't need so much help from others. You know, sometimes people chafe. They think, well, the ministers have it in for me, or they get admonished more than others. Well, you figure it out. John was overwhelmed when he got a little glimpse of the majesty and glory of God in that heavenly scene. He was overwhelmed. The story that I read once of a little girl that died, and the boy. No, I'll get ahead of it. His sister was sick, and he had dreamed, and in his dream he said, if he could get a leaf from the tree of life in heaven, she would not die, she would be healed. And so, in his dream, he came to heaven's door, and knocked on the door, and the angel opened the door, and this boy was saying that I'd like to have a leaf of the tree of life. Well, the angel opened the door much wider, and he looked in, and he saw the glories of heaven, and he said, forget about the leaf, and let me come with her. Yeah. Are we that way this morning? Forget about the leaf and let me come with her. You know, I think I remembered as a young boy. I got saved when I was 20. And I thought about the eternity. But here I am, quite a bit older. But I do know one thing. I'm not going to be here forever. We're going to move on. Are you looking forward to that glorious thing in heaven? And as I said, John was overwhelmed when he got a little glimpse of the majesty, glory of God in that heavenly scene. What are you doing with the light of the gospel that you have? What are you doing with what God has showed you? Now, verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, I'm not sure what the four beasts, but you go back to the chapter. Well, may I read verse 7 and 8 yet? And the first beast was like a lion. Now, a lion, that's the king of the beasts, usually called. The second one was a calf, and that's an ox or beast of burden. And the third was a man, like what you and I are. And the fourth one was a flying eagle. And he was flying towards heaven. Could we apply these to the four Gospels? You look through the four Gospels of Matthew, you find the Gospel of the Kingdom. The King Jesus as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And you see Mark as the Gospel of Suffering. He talks much of a suffering Savior in the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke as the Gospel of the Son of Man. He came to serve. Came to serve us. And then the Gospel of John as the Son of God. Now, in verse 5 of Revelation 4, it says there proceedeth lightnings and thunder. John says lightnings and thunder. In bottom of verse 8, and it said, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Four beasts are saying that before the throne of God. Now I don't know, we don't as a rule say a lot of praise the Lord or amen. Maybe marched out of church, maybe, if we do it too much. But you know, in heaven, it seems to me we ought to be able to say that. Praise God, praise the Lord. In heaven, we're going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. And the whole heaven, as it says in Isaiah 6, is full of him. And notice that it is to come. Do we see the coming thunder of the end of the world? In chapter 6, it talks about four horses. And it says there, when the sevens, getting back then to verse chapter 5, verse 1, and the seven seals, and he broke the seven seals. And verse 2, a strong angel with a loud voice. And notice what it says. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals around? And verse 3 and 4, it says that John wept. You know, I don't know. John in heaven, there was seeing the Isle of Patmos, and he was seeing this vision. And when no one was able to open the book, he wept. And it says, don't weep. Verse 5, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You know, I don't know if one of the elders apparently had some insight and said to him he shouldn't weep. He said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed. And then verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, is in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. A lamb as it had been slain. This morning, beloved, are you looking forward to seeing the lamb that was slain in person? I trust you have seen him. You know what it is to have experienced a new birth and to see the glory of God. But I'm looking forward to see him face to face. Shall I behold him, as the songwriter goes? I want to see my Savior, first of all. I've often said, you know, probably most of us say that, I had a wonderful mother. I can remember, I was sick a lot in my growing up youth when I was a little boy like this. I had pneumonia, I guess, about 6-7 times. I was often sick. I can still feel my mother's hand on my brow. And I know she had many nights she spent for me awake. But you know, she couldn't give her life for me. Jesus did more than mother. And that's why I want to glorify him. I want to see my Savior first of all. In verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and of him he came, he took the book, and then verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the throne, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, I've wondered, I've pondered about this thing, prayers of the saints. Are you crying? You know, we've got an easy life. Most of that, pretty easy life. How much time do you spend praying for those that suffer? We turn to chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth, and saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge and the blood of them that dwell on the earth? And then it says, wet robes were given them out. They thought, well, they gave them wet robes, I guess, kind of quiet them down a little bit. But you know, under the throne, they were saying, when are you going to do something? I was in Europe here a number of years ago and a Baptist tour, and I saw some of the things and the places, the Anabaptist hiding place, Taifa-Fashek, and some of the very places where it happened, and I said, I guess I have a little hard time. We talk about our Anabaptist forefathers. You think our Anabaptist forefathers would own us? But we've got it pretty easy, don't we? They knew what it was when they received Christ and chose to join the church. It often, most often, meant death, meant persecution, meant hiding. But notice, it says they're only through the blood of Christ. And it says, white robes were given unto them, every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little while, little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren who went, that would be killed as they were should be fulfilled. I don't know. I just like to say, I want to be in that number that is singing glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. You know, beloved, there's a... every one of us is going to someday say that. We don't do it here on earth. We will in eternity. As it says there, there's a great multitude stood before the throne. And there they had palms and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation is to our God through which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Chapter 5, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such that are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Everyone will do that. And that's why I get back to verse 1 where it says, come up hither. Chapter 6, Revelation 6, verse 1. It says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. You know, beloved, there's a one thing that we need to remember. Young boys, you need to remember. You never get to heaven on somebody else's testimony. There must have to be that every one of us have had a personal experience with Jesus Christ and allow him to be our Savior and Lord. We'll never get in on the coattails of our parents or on anyone else. As it says there, come and see. Verse 2. I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. White horse is symbolic to Jesus. He's conquering and he will conquer. Then verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, come and see. And there went out a other horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Another horse that was red, and as it said, the symbol of war. I didn't live through World War I. Before my time, and World War II in 1940, I was born then, but I don't remember anything of that. But I do remember the Korean War. I remember, of course, several of the other ones, Afghanistan. But you know, there's wars and rumors of wars, like the Bible said. It says we should look out for our redemption to draw us nigh. Now, verse 5, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. I beheld, and lo, a black horse. Now, what's that symbol of? I'm not sure. A black horse, I've made it symbolic to famine. There have been famines, not in our day, but in bygone years there have been. Verse 7 and 8. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see, and lo. And I looked, behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death. And hell followed that. So the pale horse is symbolic of death. Now, verse 15 and 16 of chapter 6. And the kings of the earth, great man and the rich man, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? I'd like to ask you a question. Will you be able to stand? You know, I don't think we're going to be trying to get around the throne haphazardly. And I don't think we're going to, like someone said, we'll walk right in. We'll go in by the grace of God and by the power of Jesus' blood. Who shall be able to stand? Have you stopped and figured that out? Who shall be able to stand in that great day when Jesus comes back, that we're reading here? He said, many, the world, said, the rocks and mountains fall on me. You know, and they tried to hide from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of God. You know, we love to hear and talk about the love of God. But you know, the Bible talks quite a bit about the wrath of God. And you know, when God's love gets full, so to speak, and he begins to pour out our wrath, his wrath, I don't know if I can describe the wrath of God, but I know I want a place to cover. I want a place to hide. But Jesus has a rock that's rifted that we can't hide. Chapter 7, verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. In their foreheads. Sealed the servants of God. Verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which come out of great tribulation. And I washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And I guess that's what I've already wondered about. We have it so easy. We read the next several verses here. They shall hunger no more. You know, that's what glory. That's heaven. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them in living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I don't think I'll ever forget. I think it was Willie Wagner that preached when I was a young boy. That what is more consolating, comforting than God reaching out to wipe the tears from our eyes? Well, how many tears do we shed today because of hard times or persecution? We hardly know what that is, do we? I sometimes get a little uncomfortable with our easy life. Notice what it said there. Revelation 10. Read a few verses here. Verse 4. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, are in the sea, and the things which are therein, there should be time no longer. You know, I understand there was a young girl that got killed recently. And I trust, we have hope, but let me tell you something, boys, girls, when you close your eyes in death, you're not going to have another opportunity. It'll be forever too late. Now is the time to order our lives according to the Word of God. Now is the time to make those things right if you've held a grudge. Now is the time to make sure that our life is clear and that we're open and honest. Now is the time, not tomorrow. Chapter 9, a few more verses here. Yeah. Chapter 14. verse 1 through 3. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Do you have it? And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Dearly beloved, can you sing the new song? Can you sing the song of redemption? I've said already that I've sung a new song ever since 1961 when I got saved out in Phoenix, Arizona. Now verse 9. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lord. Verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Stark contrast between the two, where they're ending up. Hell, which is torment day and night, and heaven, a place of rest. Stark contrast. Revelation 19. Reading verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And it says here that John fell down to worship him, and he said, don't do it. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And it says further there, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had the name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. You'd go on to read there. It says there in verse 16, he was the King of kings and Lord of lords. The angel, saw an angel standing on the sun, cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now, a few more verses in Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. I don't know how many of you remember Adolf Eichmann, who was one of Hitler's, I forget, he wasn't in charge of the Gestapo, but he was in charge of, I forget, the gas chambers, I think. But he was caught here about 15 years ago, maybe longer, down in Paraguay, was it, I think. And the Jews found out about him, Israel, and they went down there, watched his actions as he was working, and they watched when he walked home, and they had it all figured out. Drove an older car up right beside him when he was walking home after he got off the vehicle. And they quickly jumped out of the car, grabbed Adolf Eichmann and threw him in back of the van and took off. Because they were afraid of him. He had friends. And they flew him back to Israel. And there, they had him in a glass cage. I can still remember seeing that where we were. because they didn't want anybody else to kill him. They wanted to kill him. But what I wanted to say, Adolf Eichmann, who was in charge of the gas chamber, when he was there under the back of the car with his, the people that caught him, you know, had his head put on his head, he whimpered like a puppy. Oh, he asked for mercy. You know, I'd like to illustrate that. That's what the devil is going to do. As I look at this scripture, and you go back to Isaiah 14, is it? When the devil it gets cast into hell, he's going to whimper like a puppy. And can you imagine being deceived by such a fellow? And in Revelation, I mean in Isaiah 19, it says, or 14, it says, is this the man that caused the earth to tremble? Is this the man that deceived? Can you imagine the millions of people looking and saying, you mean we followed that fellow? Oh, beloved, the choice is clear today. Are we going to serve God with all our heart? Or where are we in our Christian experience? A little further here. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their words. Their works. Wait a minute. We don't go by works. We go by grace, don't we? Well, there it says they're going to be judged by their works. I think works count after we're Christian. We'll never work ourselves to heaven. We'll never earn heaven by our works. But once we have them, we'll work it out, it says in Philippians. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that was cast into the lake of fire. Have you ever stood in your mind before the throne of God? And the books were open, and the book was open. And they got down, and I've tried to illustrate this already, near the Andy R. Miller family. I come from a large family. And they go down the list of Irene, Levi Mano, they get all the way down to Malin. And then they'll go to Catherine. And I'll say, oh, wait a minute! My name's in between there! You know, beloved, that's going to be reality for many people. The books will be open. God has a record. He knows your life backward. So, I'm wondering, how many are ready to come up high hither or come up higher, or are you high enough? Are you ready for that great supper up there? Does your life describe the Son of God? Are you growing in the grace of God? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we stand for prayer? Our loving Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of knowing him and of the provision that he has made that we can be your children. We pray, dear Father, that as you look down upon us, you can see into the very depths of our hearts. You know our attitudes, our motives, everything. We desire, dear God, to be more like you. Pray that you would bless everyone present. Apply our needs according to your riches and glory. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to invite you to come visit us at Maysville, Missouri.